Yes.
Okay.
They surround that whole kind of little square we have.
Okay, I'm going to bring this back to the commission only.
Okay.
And...
Can I say one?
Bernadette.
So prior to this meeting, we did talk about different options that could occur. And one other option would be a condition, potentially, that it be approved with the condition that the property owner, because this is the burden of the JCE property owner, to show access, legal easement, legal right to access the property. That was, so it was just discussed. I just wanted to make sure that all of the options that we thought might occur were presented to the commission. So that was one that was discussed between me and council. So I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm going to make a wild guess, but my assumption is little, as much as I hate making assumptions, the original transfers of ownership from the beginning up to about 17 years ago on this property was probably handled by Siskiyou Title and not Mount Shasta Title. And Siskiyou Title has a record of failing to keep everything on maps moving forward. Every issue of every property I've ever had goes back to Siskiyou Title. And there's a window of time of about 38 years where things fell through the crack.
There is, and you'll note that I do agree, I did look at the deeds. I did not see an easement for any use of Wilder Lane.
What?
Okay.
No.
Easements, whether they're for ingress, egress, or even irrigation ditches,
right.
In the last 25 years, irrigation ditches are now being labeled as streams, creeks, etc. We get the projects in here randomly every year where a new homeowner says, I don't want this creek piped. Well, guess what? It's an irrigation ditch. It's not yours. It's not a bubbling brook. It is an irrigation ditch that has been improperly noted on the title map because of someone's ineptness. I'm not arguing that.
Sure.
So, commissioners, we have option 1, 2, 3, or if you have a fourth option, I would invite the recommendation, or do you have further questions?
I have one question. Through County Council, a prescriptive right is in perpetuity?
Yes. Although really, to put a pink bow on it, well, not even a pink bow, but you really need to go to court and get the prescriptive easement declared. But then
it needs to be improved.
They vary.
It needs to be approved now?
Well, technically they should be.
Okay.
5 years of use of it first.
If something is on a deed or not on a deed of 30 years ago, what happens? Aren't deeds in perpetuity?
Yeah. So if there's a deed of easement out there, it's in perpetuity as well.
Okay, the fact that there was no, but has been used all these years, doesn't mean anything?
No, it's prescriptive.
That's what I'm saying.
And so the proper thing to do is to improve a prescriptive where you prove that it has been used for 5 years or longer, undisturbed, not gated, etc.
Okay.
And there's no absolutes on prescriptive.
I know.
Yeah. It
I know.
Will
that.
Depend on a lot
I
of
went
factors.
Through that when I was on the planning commission in the city.
Yeah.
A very short road.
We have options 1, 2, 3, or a fourth that I would invite.
What would be the fourth, please?
If either of you two have another.
I'm going for three.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion that explicitly says that this project would be continued, and I'm gonna go to staff on this. 1 month, 2 months, what would the, how long?
Well, if we could extend it at
well, whether we do definite or indefinite is the question.
The difficulty here is the applicant is not the property owner.
Correct.
So they don't have the ability to make this agreement.
That's why I'm saying 30 days may not be long enough.
Correct, Chair.
So continue until staff deems ready to return.
I would say a date uncertain. Yep.
Okay. So move to continue to date uncertain.
Yes, I make that motion.
Commissioner Beal moves to continue this project to date uncertain, seconded by
me,
Commissioner Mello.
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Date uncertain. That way there's no timeline. Get it right.
Okay. Discussion's closed. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record show 3 unanimous, 1 absent, 1 recused, and the project is continued.
And I'd like to say, Mr. Pacemaker, we feel for your situation, but Ms. Bernadette does not say pound sand.
I've known Bernadette a lot of years. I know she does a very good job with the county.
Yeah, you bet.
But okay, just leave it at that.
All right. Yeah, you should.
Good. Here we go. Could someone ring a bell for Ms. Lindler, please?
We rang the bell.
All right, we are moving on to agenda item 4 of new business, the noise element GPA 2503, and Mr. Phelps has assumed control of technology, so I'm assuming you're the one on lead.
Yes, thank you, sir. One moment. Give me one moment, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Go back where you came.
Thank you. I'm ready, Sheriff Bell.
Go for it.
Thank you. This next item is the draft noise element. This was produced by our outside consultants, Interior Carnish. The noise element is a description of the different noise sources in the county. The major noise source in the county is transportation related. The noise element breaks down the noise into transportation related noise sources, stationary sources, and then noises that emanate from special events like weddings, concerts, that sort of thing. It discusses the need to have regulations monitoring noise decibels. We can go through if the commission has specific questions, or I can go through and provide an overview. How would you like to proceed?
I've got questions, but we can wait till later.
Go ahead and give your overview, and maybe as you hit sections where we have questions, we will address them then so we're not having to scroll back.
Sure. The noise element is divided into 5 sections. They have an introduction section, a noise measurement section, a section describing the different types of noises in Siskiyou County, a section concerning goals and policies, and a section listing all the implementation programs. The introduction section is just a description of the different types of noises, as I stated before, that exist in Siskiyou County. Most of the noise in Siskiyou County is coming from transportation, construction, agriculture, and industry. The element also wants to emphasize there's different areas in the county that are noise sensitive, and when we're determining land uses, we want to take into special consideration noise levels around residences, schools, hospitals, parks, places of worship, wildlife habitats, that sort of thing. section two of the noise element is a description on how noise is measured. They talk about how noise is measured in decibels. They give a range. Everyday noises that we hear are normally in the range of 30 decibels, which is very quiet. That goes up to a range of 100 or very loud. They use like a rock concert as an example. The front row of a rock concert is 110 decibels. So when we're doing our different planning projects in residential districts, we want to take noise into consideration, and so we want to have those noise ranges be in the 30 decibel, 40 decibel range. And then the third section is a discussion on the different types of noises in Siskiyou County. It's just a repeat of what I said earlier. This section is very short. It's on page 7. It talks about transportation noises within the county, and it is a description of the different major travel routes in the county. And then it talks about stationary noises. This is like, when you think about a stationary noise, that's anything that's not in a car, right? It's the loud noises you hear at the truck stop or the gas station. And then, the fourth section is just a listing of the different proposed goals and policies that the consultant has drafted for the county. And based on those goals and policies, they've created the final section, which is the implementation program. Part of the program that we'll be implementing are a noise ordinance. That'll allow us to, when we have a project, refer to the noise ordinance and decide like what would be appropriate noise level for this type of project depending on the zoning. It also proposes different mitigation measures to deal with truck noise. It's anticipated that the county will grow in the next few years, even though the population is going down. The projections are truck traffic is going to increase through the county. And then there are two other programs, right, dealing with noise levels that may be too loud, and then a build out, it looks like, for the, I don't really understand what that last one is, building architectural damage threshold. Oh, it's saying it's a program that the consultants are advising us in the event that noises are damaging buildings in the area. I don't think that's as much a factor in the rural area. You can imagine that's a big deal in the city because you have skyscrapers and lots of glass, but here our development is very scattered, so that might not be relevant. If there are specific questions related to the element,
yeah,
I could respond.
Go ahead. This is basically a staff presentation, not exactly a project. So yes, Q&A, commissioners mm-hmm. to staff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think of it like a workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So on page, what number is that? NOI 4, you know, it shows that like a vacuum cleaner, and I'm assuming that's a residential vacuum cleaner, is 80 decibels. And then down on page 6, it shows, you know, the clearly unacceptable threshold is 75. Mm-hmm. And my question is, like, in some of these situations, especially with, like, is that where it's like clearly unacceptable? It's like if you can't run a vacuum cleaner, or a vacuum cleaner is going to be louder than what we're going to allow at 75 decibels in like residential low density, residential multifamily, auditoriums, concert halls, and sports arenas, and then playgrounds and neighborhood parks. Like, I don't understand. Like, to me, that's too low of a threshold if, like, you're running a vacuum cleaner and that's louder than what we're going to allow.
Yeah, through the chair. So on, you know, page 6, where it talks about community noise and the land use compatibility with the acceptable levels, these are from the Office of Planning and Research, which is now LCI. Okay. So when you see the clearly unacceptable, that doesn't mean necessarily that the county wouldn't allow for those uses to occur. It just means that we would have you know, specific mitigations or conditions or something stated in a noise ordinance per se, of how we would handle what is deemed clearly unacceptable, right? So this is, you know, essentially a footprint, so to speak, of what we would do if there were something deemed clearly unacceptable.
Okay.
And how we would handle that and what the general parameters are.
Okay.
So if someone's coming into the county with, you know, a use permit for an industrial development, right? We would, you know, maybe staff would look at that and say, okay, you may likely have some uses that may be normally acceptable or clearly unacceptable. You know, you might be looking at some conditions or mitigation measures or, you know, an analysis to confirm or deny that.
Okay. So with, like, if we went down to NOI 8, where it says, like, compatible land uses, I'm assuming, like, that compatible land uses, is that, like, ag? What are those compatible land uses? Because then the threshold goes down to, like, 45 indoor and outdoor noise not to exceed 65 decibels, which is just, like, basically a little bit above a normal conversation. So what are those compatible land uses?
Yeah, 65 is, typically where it is at acceptable. I know, you know, through our other use permit CEQA projects, 65 is always kind of our marker. I don't know if you remember, I think it's like Kidder Creek. I think they're, you know, since our noise element currently states like 55 as the acceptable decibel, we had to do a noise analysis, right? So really it increases it from 55 to 65 for acceptable baseline, where we may or may not have to have a noise analysis done. In terms of compatible uses, that would be determined by the project, right?
Okay.
So different projects are going to have different compatible uses, and this essentially is just a general guideline for staff to follow.
Okay. So, and then when we get down to I'll just explain my concerns with some of what I'm reading, especially when you start talking about noise disturbances and habitat, because I deal with that all the time. And what that is, you know, you end up with all these limited operating periods where you can even operate, like you can't use your haul roads, you can't do any fuels reduction, like there's no activities within a quarter mile. And I just wouldn't want to get in a situation where we are doing that and creating those restrictions, because we're talking about wildlife habitat, not just like industrial noise or vehicle noise, but now it's noise associated with habitat, which is like zero. Like there is no threshold. So like to address that in the plan, and then how that's going to affect agriculture, forestry, and not be a duplicative process to what we already deal with
sure.
our activities. Because I mean, some of our limited operating periods are like February to August.
Right.
I would hate that to be now a county statute limiting agriculture from February to August.
that's a great point, and we can definitely work to either modify the language or just remove it altogether.
Yeah, I wouldn't
just state that, you know, those types of concerns are typically, honestly, brought through CDFW comments with use permits and things like that. So we'll just have that handled within our already CEQA you know, framework that we are required to follow.
So my, you know, my spidey senses start to go up when I read that we're going to be, you know, consideration, the county element, and I'm not saying we're not, don't need to, you know, protect the environment. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about sensitive wildlife habitat, and those mitigations, I just feel that that's usually taken care of in another CEQA spot. And
yeah.
I wouldn't want that to be restrictive. Because like in some areas, like right here on page, let's see, what is it? Like for example, on NOI 11, it says the county shall evaluate and identify traffic noise mitigations for industrial and agricultural truck traffic. And so like these mitigations for ag, you know, forestry is going to be lumped under ag.
Mm-hmm.
Like what kind of restrictions are you going to place on us? Because like our restrictions are already through the roof to where.
Thank you.
There's no, I don't know if you guys know, and maybe this isn't germane, but Roseburg just shut down to one shift
mm-hmm.
because the plant and Diller, the plant and Diller closed down. They're not buying logs from anybody that's not a timber company. I used to sell 50 to 60 million feet. We sold like 5.
Mm-hmm.
The industry is on its, this isn't me just like being hyperbolic, but we're kind of going tits up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I, we were not online.
Just yeah,
the workshop one.
Yeah, no.
But it's very scary, and I just don't want the county to like add another layer
mm-hmm.
to what we're already dealing with.
My comment would be that I skipped during my presentation that we are going to be doing noise contour maps. So we'll have maps of the county that'll be like if your project is within the I-5 corridor, you know, there might be, you know, we could look at that map and say, well, if your project falls in this, there's an expectation that it has to be within a certain noise level,
okay.
that sort of thing. And then touching back on your mitigation measures for agriculture and lumber industry, timber industry,
yeah.
the county is going to set those requirements and those mitigation measures. So when we put that in our implementation program, that gives the county more leeway to determine what those appropriate mitigation measures are, as opposed to not having those in our noise element. Then it's going to be a third party coming in and saying, well, you don't have that in your general plan, so this should be the mitigation.
Understood. Okay. So we could set the thresholds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to have as much local control as possible, right?
Understood.
With standards.
Good. Yeah.
So that's the end goal with this report.
Good. I just want to make sure there's not any raising of the bar. Because
yeah.
like some of this I was reading and it was like, okay, well, if you're within certain areas, you know, you can't operate till like 7 to 7 kind of thing. Well, we start rolling trucks at 4.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's just how it is. So if we have situations like that, like 7 o'clock, like,
right,
we're
done.
Behind 8 ball.
Right, you want to be flexible.
We need flexibility mm-hmm. with agriculture, especially when we are, you know, and I'm sure it's the same way with Jeff, with like on the traditional ag side, not the forestry, but you know, you've got a limited season already. You have to maximize your days. We're working 12 to 15 hour days when we're working, and you just need to go, especially like post fire, et cetera, et cetera. Then the other question I have along those lines is there was some like architectural buffering of equipment, machinery. Is that like stationary machinery? So it'd be like the mill might need some noise buffering, but
yes.
like if I have equipment on site that's like a chipper, so that's a very common piece of equipment we will move on site, and it's like a tub grinder, huge wide load that we put in the forest. You have an excavator that loads it up and it chips and then blows chips in a chip van. Like that piece of equipment, because it's mobile, wouldn't need all this noise sound buffering, because like this thing is spinning and ain't gonna do well with anything attached to it.
it's really going to be project based, right? Where your project
for
is
discretionary projects, yeah. Not for
discretionary projects,
right?
Okay, so not my harvest project. God, we have some again. Okay, so it's not movable equipment, etc. This is like if we're going to like create a new facility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then we need the noise buffering, which I can understand.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure there wasn't creep.
Yeah, we're not like requiring every business.
And with right to farm, agriculture is always going to have primacy, right?
I have that as a question.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's never going to be, well, you can no longer farm because it's going to be too loud. You know, agriculture was pre-existing. So any new use coming into that area is going to have to accommodate what's already existing there.
Okay.
Thank you for the newbies.
Yep. And then my only question, and so like with some of those like compatible land uses, with like putting that outdoor noise level to not exceed 65 decibel in any hour, just like if there was any creep into the forestry or ag, and recognizing that 60 decibels is just a conversation, it's definitely a low threshold, I think, for our work.
I've got questions for council, but I'm waiting.
Me too.
You're done.
Okay. So, anyways, well, I will give you the floor and then I'll come back.
Commissioner Miller, you had something before I.
Yes. Number one. How's this going to be enforced? Number two. How's it going to be detected? Number three. 43,000 people live in the fifth largest county in the state of California. So why do we have to have a noise element? This man here is a farmer, rancher. You go to the grocery store, you want to buy beef. You want the beef to be well fed, blah, blah, blah. But you don't want to raise it here. Because when the tractor plows it or does whatever, it's making too much noise. I have one word for this thing, BS. Thank you very much. I'm tired of everybody trying to keep the world perfect. It is not perfect.
Yes.
So thank you, Commissioner Fowler.
Yes.
Chair Fowler, excuse me.
Through the chair. So the noise element is required as part of the general plan. So
I know that.
The noise element is going to be used for our discretionary projects that come through to the Planning Commission similarly today. And so that's all I wanted to add related to that.
Thank you.
Mr. Carroll, this may be a homework assignment for you. We have an existing right to farm ordinance in place. Here's my question. When that was put in place, there was an assumption per se of what activities at that time were included or protected under that ordinance. And I get that. Does the language of that ordinance, in your professional opinion, have the flexibility to include an evolving agriculture? Because agriculture in 2025 and in 2035 is not the same agriculture as existed in 1980. And the reason I ask this is with the plethora of regulation, legislation, limitation on ag, how we, the crops we grow, the value we are going to have to add to what we grow in order to continue to make a living, are going to require new technologies. Does the existing ordinance allow for that? Because I have a bit of a yellow flag on the inclusion in 6.2 and a couple other places where it specifically mentions agricultural truck traffic. because the future of ag in Siskiyou County is going to depend on adding value to grains, to hay, etc. When we harvest the grain, we're going to have to transport it locally, ideally, to a mill of some kind. And there's going to be another transportation from that mill to another potential processing facility. May it be local, may not be. But there will be an increase in agricultural transport by truck. Do you feel the existing ordinance covers that to where there won't be, as Commissioner Lindler mentioned, the creep of regulation limiting the ability of ag to evolve?
I mean, to give you a 100% answer, I'd have to go back and look at the ordinance. I don't recall that it defines the word agricultural. If it does define it, then we're going to be boxed into whatever that definition is, unless we feel it's amended. If agriculture is not defined, generally it's going to be whatever is a reasonable administrative interpretation, and I think it does allow for an evolving interpretation of agricultural. If there's good grounds for the county to interpret it that way, and even if it's for something that wasn't imagined back at the time the right to farm ordinance was done, I'd be happy to go back and look and give you a more concrete answer.
I have the definition of agricultural operation for the right to farm, so I'll just read it. Agricultural operation shall mean and include, but not limited to, the cultivation and tillage of the soil, dairying, the production, irrigation, frost protection, cultivation, growing, harvesting, and processing of any agricultural commodity in which viticulture, horticulture, timber, or apiculture, the raising of livestock, fur-bearing animals, fish, or poultry, or any commercial agricultural practices performed as incident to or in conjunction with such operations, including the preparation for market, delivery to storage or to market, or to carriers for transportation to market.
Okay, so having read that, I am not sure that the specific language using agriculture truck traffic is appropriate in the noise element.
Okay.
We do not need that attention. We do not need John Q. Public seeing this document once it is in place and coming before the supervisors and saying, hey, it says here in 6.2 that the county will evaluate and identify noise mitigation specifically for agricultural truck traffic, whether it's a hay truck, fertilizer truck, a grain truck,
log truck,
mm-hmm. chip truck, you name it. We do not need that potential headache.
Yeah, we'll remove that.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
And then, I'm sorry.
That was my primary because
for agriculture or off truck?
Agriculture.
Okay.
Yeah, and certainly, obviously, including but not limited to language, leaves it wide open for anything. Mm-hmm.
And that, the way I heard that, I also agree. But, Council, I just, so we're on the same wavelength. As this general plan gets closer to adoption, what impact of pre-existing ordinances or protection do we have the flexibility for evolution?
Yeah. And then even in the introduction, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. That was my okay. yellow flag on this one.
Okay, so in 6.1, the introduction, so it does talk about
6.1?
Yeah, at page
three.
NOI 3.
I had NOI 11 with the 6.1.
Yeah, go all the way up.
Oh.
It's the introduction of 6.1. It says, One more up. One more up. Right. One more. There you go. Where it says, so this is just me being particular, but words matter, is it says, I'll just read the whole thing. Noise-sensitive areas in Siskiyou County include residences, assisted living facilities, motels and hotels, schools, libraries, places of worship, community centers, hospitals, local parks, and then this is where, sensitive wildlife habitats, such as the Klamath National Forest, Shasta Trinity National Forest, and the Scott River Headwaters. So when we I would argue that the entire Klamath National Forest and the entire Shasta Trinity National Forest are not considered sensitive wildlife habitats. They are sensitive wildlife habitats within them, but the entire forests are not sensitive. And
I would strike Scott River Headwaters.
Yeah.
That is, Scott River Headwaters is not a defined property. It is a generalized, I mean, are you talking East Fork, South Fork, part of the East Fork, mm-hmm. part of the South Fork? You talking up Middle Boulder, Fox Creek, MILF? What do you define as Scott River Headwaters? That is a large area.
Mm-hmm.
And it encompasses a lot of the Trinity.
Yep.
And then are we required, back to my comment about the forest and the wildlife habitat, are we required to identify them as being sensitive?
I don't believe so. We'll double check. Obviously,
okay.
I don't think so. So if it's not, you know, required for mention, yeah, we'll definitely take a look to remove any wildlife and habitat questions. Because I do agree that that's better suited in the EIR, ISMND realm. You know, and I think just thinking ahead, I think with noise elements, it's important for, you know, I know we've talked broadly about wanting to make things more by right, administrative permits, things like that. That's going to be commercial projects, maybe some industrial projects, right? So we'll want, you know, some guidelines, I think, in our noise element there. But, you know, in an effort to have most ag things by right, you know, it's a moot point to really talk about it. And again, with wildlife and habitat, if there are actual real concerns, that's going to be handled within the CEQA process anyway. So I think that's completely appropriate to do so. So
and then
we'll
if it, and then if it was left in, just to put,
and we'll note that
not identifying the entire forest as sensitive wildlife habitat. That's not.
And we'll work to if it is required by state law, we'll mention that in there. So it's in or no,
okay.
Yeah. So you know we're doing that with the other elements as well. So we'll make sure to have that if it is, but we'll double check.
Because I get the consultant that put this together, where they have consulted before.
Yeah.
They've dealt with smaller forests.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're talking a couple hundred acres that, yes, indeed, it is sensitive and have made probably an assumption that, hey, we have national forest, it by automatically is sensitive. They don't understand there are an acre here, 2 acres here, in millions of acres that are sensitive. It's not the forest, it's sites.
Right.
Yep. And then back to that compatible land use, I still, like with that NOI 1.2 under 2, or 1, I just, it says, I think this is like the policy, where it says that outdoor noise levels do not exceed 65 decibels during any hour. I just, even in reality, like if that's, like I'm just thinking, like, what would that not allow if that's a threshold?
Yeah, think about Kidder Creek, you know, and our current noise element standard of 55, right? So really it's increasing that standard to 65. Remember the comments we received about children playing.
I had to recuse myself.
Oh, okay. Comments were made about children playing outside, things like that. So there was, you know.
You don't want to hear happy children.
Right, but anyways, so it really, with that, it actually increases the decibel from our current 55 to 65.
Okay, so that's
good,
low.
Which is good.
Yeah.
65 is really
that,
it's the industry standard, so that's
it is. Okay.
When you and I'll generally speak to it because I'm not a noise expert, but you know, when you average all these types of noises, 65 is the general accepted noise level for most people, right? So,
okay. So it's not going to make it like silence out there.
Right.
Okay. Because that's my concern.
So
is like,
that's kind of what folks use to put in as kind of the first, okay.
Okay.
The baseline industry standard decibel.
Okay.
Before she continues, I have a very specific question that seemed odd to me. In the, under the land use category decibel, table 6.2, I go down and I see the row that includes golf courses, riding stables, lumped in with water recreation, and then cemeteries. And the decibel level there being 75. And I ask myself, when's the last time I have been to a golf course, a stable, or a cemetery where the decibels have been 75?
You've never seen a guy hit his ball into the water.
But not for a continued hour, not, it's just not, immediate.
Yeah, it's not a, it's not a sustained decibel level.
Yeah.
It's water recreation. I would get if we're talking water skiing and jet skis, but floating down a river, rafting, kayaking, canoeing, which basically is what we have in most of our county, with the exception of Shastina, maybe Lake Siskiyou, maybe power boat on the Klamath, but the Shasta, the Scott, and everything else. What's the reasoning with a 75 decibel for golf, riding, and cemeteries?
I would point out, Chair, that this actual chart, this table, is lifted directly from the guidelines that
the general plan guidelines of the state. So.
So the consultants didn't create this. This is just the state default. And it's actually good for the county to have these noise decibels higher than you would expect, because that allows us more discretion to allow land use, those types of land uses. So you'd only want a lower decibel in residential areas. You know, having it a little higher is going to allow more development. It's going to be less restrictive. And again, this is just the default throughout the state that the consultants are using. It's not that they developed these specifically themselves.
So I guess maybe this is how I should ask the question. This table is a recommendation via the state that these land uses, under state definition, would be allowable in areas where the decibels were within that range. So in other words, if there was a sustained 72 decibel sustained in an area, that would not prohibit a cemetery from going in, a stable, etc. It's not saying that those categories are creating that noise. It's a compatibility for that category being introduced into an environment, correct? That, I guess that's my question.
Yeah.
That's how I understood it.
And then with that, to follow up on you, like, so, okay, so we have a park. Let's just use, like, Mount Shasta City Park. And then we have the old Crystal Geyser on the other side. Say it wasn't there and somebody wanted to build it. You have a park. If you wanted to go on the other side of that street to build the Crystal Geyser, would you be restricted or subject to whatever 70, those guidelines are?
70 decibels.
And then if so, what is that distance? So like, okay, is it the on the other side of the street? Is it a quarter mile down the street? Like, where is that distance of
It's at the property line is how we've always done it.
Yes. Is that the property line?
Yes.
Okay.
And it wouldn't, this doesn't restrict anything per se. It just gives a general guidelines of, you know, let's say there were higher decibels at the property lines, you might want to
think about it. Yeah.
You know.
I think where I'm getting, like, I'm viewing this as a restriction,
yeah.
just
okay.
is like where it says clearly unacceptable, underneath it says new construction or development should not be undertaken.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you're undertaking a development, maybe without mitigations, like it's saying yeah. it's a no.
Okay.
But maybe there was some way to say would need additional mitigations, because I'm just like thinking the general public is going to see this and be like, your noise element says you can't have this noisy thing
sure.
next to this park. Because it says clearly unacceptable. Like
yeah.
they're going to be very literal in that, and I just wouldn't want to limit our development.
You got that right.
Yeah, so maybe what we can do instead of just using this from the state in its entirety, we can use the graph as the guidance and modify the language at the bottom to make it a little bit.
Like you're going to need some mitigations if you're going to be loud.
Yeah.
We're going to allow it, but you need to.
We
maybe
will, yeah, we can personalize it to make it a little bit
Does that
sense.
Make more sense?
Yeah.
Staff will take your comments today and modify this. As it wasn't written by us, we didn't
exactly.
want to edit it.
Yeah, no, and I knew it was written by the
consultants.
I knew it wasn't, that's why I read it as closely as I could in my
sure.
few hours of reading. There was a lot to prep for the meeting.
There were a lot of late hours after I got the word from Link's
Yeah. So, okay. So, will we get another look at this then?
Yes.
This is just first workshopping. Yes.
Just to hear your concerns.
Yeah.
Yep, perfect.
Temperature
and
readings.
You know, it's just, I mean, I think we're on the same point,
mm-hmm.
you know, with our county is... Let's not limit ag or forestry any more than we have to.
That's right.
And let's not discourage any other businesses to come into our area because we need it.
Absolutely.
We need it.
Could I just make a mention because of this picture that's on the screen there right now? And I'm diverting a little bit, Mr. Chairman, but if you allow me. The last element we had was dust abatement. And dust abatement is really concerning when you deal with mining, right? But dust abatement doesn't seem to bother the county on the county roads. We've got 1,000 miles of county road that dust going all over. If Jeff wants to turn up the ground, there's dust. Why is it restricted to mining so much, dust abatement?
I couldn't answer that.
Particle size. Particle size and the potential impacts to the lungs due to the particles. And the material of the particulate.
And I know in my world.
Thank you, Norman.
Well, it's in ag also, you know, with
right.
mills. It's the material and the particulate size that results from crushing.
And we do have dust abatement in forestry.
Through the chair.
So.
Just add also, too. So often we have the fire cleanups and so forth, construction there. You're dealing with heavy metals.
Okay.
Answer
my question.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too. But yeah, there is dust abatement on forested lands. We have to water routinely. Sometimes you have to add lignin and different things to the road.
Any other questions for Mr. Phelps or Ms. Lang or Mr. Dean or Mr. Carroll on noise?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Then we will run to... our last new business agenda item 5, my favorite, circulation.
So staff created this element. We can more talk confidently about this one. Originally, this was meant to be simply a incorporation of the local transportation plan. Because of budget, we were just going to try to incorporate the regional transportation plan and call that the circulation element. However, our consultant said that would not be an option and we would have to draft our own. And so staff did draft a circulation element. In drafting the element, we relied on the state guidelines, we used the state templates. So we're pretty confident that it will meet state the state mandate and requirements. But the circulation element basically is an overview of the transportation system and all the supporting infrastructure that goes to support that transportation system. It's a detailed listing of the road system, the airports, the railroads, and anything that is related to freight movement or movement of goods and people throughout the county, whether during everyday life or during an emergency situation. We broke this element. We wanted to make it very brief, as we said. We weren't intending to draft this. We were just going to incorporate an existing county document. But we did the bare minimum, and we only included what was required. So we added an introduction. We spoke about the existing conditions in the county, which is the types of roads, the types of airports that exist. And then we talk about the challenges that are facing the county as a rural county, and also the opportunities that come from being a rural county and how we might face the challenges. And then we talk about the policy and the legal framework that constrains or describes the safety element, not the safety element, but the circulation element, basically all the state laws that go into it. Then as part of every element, we're required to have a set of goals and policies. And this is where I just basically went through all the different elements in the state, and I just cherry picked a bunch and threw it in there. And this would allow you to go through and say, I don't like this policy, this one is fine. That's why the goals and policies are a little more robust. The expectation is the commission will go through and remove what it doesn't like. And then we're required also to have certain figures and maps in our element. And so staff has been drafting that, and that's the last section there. And then at the very end, just to hedge our bets, we do incorporate our local transportation plan. In the event that we missed anything in the circulation element, we can refer to this document and say, well, we also incorporated this document, so everything's included. And a lot of what's included in here is just, some of it's a repeat of what the consultants had already provided in the background report, the initial general plan background report. And it was re-included in our circulation element because it's state guidelines require that we talk about certain things. And so you'll see that we talk about the road network. You'll see if we talk about the pavement index and the conditions of the roads in the county. We talk about the different functional classifications of the roads, like is it a major interstate, or is it a local road, or is it a collector, that sort of thing. And then the goal is to have this circulation element tie in with our programming, EIR, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that our planning projects will be more, will be easier to process, right? We'll be able to use our vehicle miles traveled. We'll be able to use some of the calculations from this to streamline some of our projects. And this will lead to cost savings, I believe, for applicants as well. They'll be able to rely on the county's work instead of having to go out and hire consultants to do a traffic study for $70,000 for a little project that is only going to make them $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we wanted to push in here, and this was based on Chair Bell's concerns, which I heard mentioned again this morning on the wireless cell tower, is just the reception in the county. We wanted to talk about how broadband access and just coverage in the county really is part of the circulation element at this day and age. It's it supports transportation, right? So we wanted to put that in here, just that this would allow us in the future to go after funding from the federal and state government when they have these programs to build out rural communities. We can point to it, to this as saying, well, it's already a concern. We've listed in our general plan. We'd like funding to build out this and this.
So
if there are specific questions on the circulation element.
I do, but I will defer if there are other questions.
Okay, wait till we get to the final thing, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
Okay, I'm going to jump in then. I'm going to go to the middle of this in CIR 3 on page 20. The policies for efficient goods movement and economic vitality. 3.1.2 and 3 deal with paved roads and air. No mention of rail. And I think it is irresponsible of the county to not include rail as an effective means of reducing VMTs. Maybe you all are unaware, but there is an increase of individuals in Siskiyou County buying and leasing rail cars for ag goods and getting them parked in Montague, in Doris, and in Tule Lake because it is so difficult now under the current transportation rules on trucking. Mm-hmm. We can't get what we need when we need it by. And so our only option, since we don't have a big airport and we're not near a port, is the rail. And so getting grain out, getting fertilizer in, we need to make a concerted effort as a county to look at options of what can we do to include the rail as a potential solution to reduce VMTs.
Yeah, you know, the timber products out here wanted to ship their product to Oregon by a rail, but the cost was so prohibitive that it's cheaper to do it by a truck. So somehow they're going to have to either, I guess, subsidize it or find a way that the rail companies don't just make it prohibitive to do it.
The rail is a mafia.
Yeah.
No, it is.
No. Yeah.
And it is, you have got to know the right person in the right place to even have a chance at leasing a rail car that is capable of hauling what you need hauled. Then your next nightmare is getting that car where the good is that you need, and in a timely manner, getting it to where you need it. But believe it or not, with the transportation rules now in place, more and more people are looking to fight the rail battle as opposed to trying to get a semi to get something delivered in time.
Mm-hmm. And I concur. I know I had some investors looking at, had contacted me, like wanting to put a facility in Siskiyou County for wood products. And I won't talk about which kind because I'm not supposed to, but they were like, I need an area that's close to a freeway and has a rail. I'm like, oh, well, I know. But anyways, that was their criteria. So yeah. I think that is.
Well, the dependability, I understand, of rail delivery was
So Chair Fowle, it would be our intention to add another section 3.4 discussing rail's use. Mm-hmm.
That would be advised.
Okay.
I think the county needs to be involved in that, and I know Supervisor Harris, this is on his radar,
yes.
And he's been working with Farm Bureau and UC Davis at looking at potential projects that address this. But it's something the county, I think, needs to be in full support.
You got that yellow, the MIRICA. I wonder what the status of that is.
It's defunct, I think. Short line running 9 miles between Montague and MIRICA, currently not in operation.
Oh, no. I wonder what the status of that is. Big problem.
A section of that has flat out been pulled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this one? The railroad here?
Yes.
They pulled some rail out?
Oh, yeah. On the Wairika spur.
Over.
Yeah, there are sections there where the rail and ties all.
Because the rail that used to go to McLeod is all still there.
No, we're talking Wairika.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm kind of surprised they pulled it. But because that was the Wairika Western, was that what that was called? That railroad?
Blue Goose?
The local one. Wairika Western?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I continue, Commissioner Lindler.
In it's 4.3. You have a question? So under protect habitats and waterways through environmentally sensitive transportation design under circulation 4.3, and then the program is adopt and apply wildlife friendly design guidelines for roadways, culverts, and bridge projects in coordination with CDFW and Caltrans. So we deal with a lot of miles of roads in forested landscapes that are privately owned. And right now, like, I guess my question is, like, what does that look like in this policy? Because, like, what we do is we have, you know, right-sizing culverts. Our culvert design is such to allow for fish passage or depending on the type of creek. But then more importantly, in the extensive part, is they've required us in certain projects to what they call hydrologically disconnect all of your road system. So it's literally regrading, redesigning our roads out in the woods. And I just would wonder, I would like to see, like, what is that policy? What is that wildlife-friendly design? Just to make sure that we're not having to re-engineer some of our main road systems, because I can tell you, like, as a county, it would bankrupt us. Because hydrologically disconnecting your road systems out in the woods is very expensive. Very, very.
So earlier I had talked about how some of this is put in here.
Mr. Phelps, I'm going to call a short 4-minute.
After break.
Thank you. Yep.